The next person we have on the stack is Matt Mazza. Matt, go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Didn't we used to have a community bulletin board? Now, I found that to be very, very good. The person who did it, you know, just announced upcoming events, and it could also be a social issue where a problem is stated.
Matt, you're breaking up, Matt, so you pick up the phone and don't be on speakerphone.
Okay. Okay, I hope this is better.
Okay, hold on. There's somebody else talking, and we have Matt has the floor. Please, everybody else.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. How do I mute?
Please mute.
How do I mute?
Is it star six? Let me go up here. I think it's star six or just six.
I'll try it.
Okay, thank you. All right, Matt Mazza, go ahead.
Yeah, we used to have something called a community bulletin board, which was announcements of upcoming events. You know, people would submit an email, upcoming events, and it would get announced. It could also be in reference to a particular social problem with a statement of a resource to go and get help for such a problem. You know, that's what I understood, and we no longer have someone who is doing that. And the other thing is that as far as public service announcements go, that is my understanding. The other thing is for the tower rent, a suggestion that when people pick, they should also announce to state, make a little note on their payment, as some people do. When I open the mail, there is a statement for the tower fund. And I make sure when I do the documentation, which means just making a copy, that gets viewed, that comes out in the documentation, in the copy, so that the general manager sees it when he enters the payment. So there it is. That's my comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I used to do the community bulletin board at BAI with somebody else 40 years ago. All right, so that exhausts that particular stack. Is there anybody else who wants to be on the stack for new business now? Please answer up.
Yes, Can I answer
the community board issue?
Wait a minute. Please hold on a second. I'm making a stack. Okay, there's one person. Anybody else want to be on a stack?
Yeah, Jim Dingman.
Oh, Dingman is here. All right, Jim Dingman, you are here. We have a quorum. You are now a member of this august body. Anybody else want to be on stack? Okay.
James will be on stack.
Okay, James Sagerton. Anybody else want to be on a stack? We're in new business now, so people can just get on the stack here. Anybody else? Okay, hearing none. First, you know who you are. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. First, I want to affirm, Matt, that the community bulletin board was very dynamic. And a question, two questions for Berto. And I'd like to know, up to now, what has been the process for deciding whether a PSA will air? And please be specific. The other question is as to the tower fund, there could be different options to segregate those funds, and I think that's quite important, especially, you know, when you're urging your listeners to contribute. Have you thought about options? How do you keep track exactly of what's in the tower fund? Thank you, if you have my two questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the community bulletin board, the last person who did the community bulletin board was Elena Fitneil, who passed away. And it's a lot of work. And, you know, we haven't found anybody to do that. The PSAs, whatever PSAs are done, they have to be approved by the program director. So you have to talk to the program director. If it's a PSA for money, then you know I look at it. For feedback,
Ertold, I think you're breaking up. Ertold?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. What I got was if it asks for money, you look at it. And I didn't hear after that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the PSA, you know, the program director's question. But if it's something about getting money for it, then I ask around. I ask the executive director, general counsel, you know, I consult. There was another question that you asked. I forgot what that was. That was the third question.
Yes, thank
you.
She
wants to know how you keep track of what's in the tower fund.
Oh, I responded to Serena already. There's a code. When they call the call center, it says tower one or something like that, whatever the code is. And that's the code. You find the code, you know. And when they send checks, they don't say tower fund, then it doesn't go to the tower fund. They have to tell me. That's the bottom line. You know, so there's a code, you know, so when I go in and then put in the check, the payment, the donation, you know, if this is tower code, I enter it to that code. And that's it. We have a list. We have an Excel spreadsheet that has the name of the people, their address, their email, phone number, and the month they donated and when, which day they donated this money. I've entered into the system, which is actually a really good list for me because that's a list I'm going to send an email to. To tell them, by the way, guys, you are the one who saved us last time. If you were to do the same thing you did in December right now, each one of you, then we would be done with this. Obviously, unfortunately, there are probably a good 5 to 7% of those people who do not have an email on their file. So I might have to call those people. But there's a master list of those people as of, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. That added up to that amount that donated, and so that's how it's kept.
Okay.
Michael, wait to the stack.
Or hold on, I'll add you to the stack at the bottom there. Okay, the next person on the stack is Jim Dingman. Go ahead.
All right, thank you, R. Paul. I wanted to let everybody know that on Monday, National Board created a National Fundraising Task Force to first address the problem of the archives. But obviously, it's not to just simply do that. It's to simply address problems such as, for example, paying the electricity bill at KPFK for their tower, which they owe tens of thousands of dollars, supporting KPFT, and obviously, we'd want it directed here in New York to help the tower fund. Am I going to expect a crescendo of money out of that? Who knows? But I just want to let you guys know that that is an initiative that was taken, and hopefully it'll have fruition in the next few weeks. They have to make payroll at the archive within next week, in fact. So this is something that's going to have to be put together rather quickly, and we have cooperation from all the stations to implement it. We'll see what happens.
Will that be listed on
KPFT? Okay, are you done?
Can I ask a question?
What was that? Who said that?
Jim?
Yeah, who said that? Who asked that?
Hey.
Yeah.
Will the meeting of the National Fundraising Task Force be listed on KPFT?
Now, there. It's a management function that's going on right now. The managers are now in charge of it. So they're going to do their thing. Thank you.
Okay.
Next is James Sagerton. Go ahead.
Thank you, R. Paul. I'm going to ask a series of questions and answer them myself. I would ask, is there a written policy for how we decide which announcements were made of the ones that came in on the community bulletin board when it was still being done by the person who last did it, who suddenly passed away, and thus it's no longer being done? Is there a written policy on how we decide which PSA to play on the air that has to do with a program or with a fund drive or an activity surrounding activities in WBAI? There are many, many things that there are not written policies for, and we rely on the general manager and the program director to use their judgment. That's why we pay them to do those things on a case-by-case basis and make those decisions. If we're generally unhappy with what they do, we can bring that up. If they want to seek guidance, as they do, from the executive director or from the corporate counsel, they do. If they want to ask for political advice, they can ask various people. If they want to ask for oversight advice, they can ask the LSB. So there are many, many things that we don't have written policies for. Back in the day when we had 50,000 listeners and many times more members than we do now, we were flush with cash. We had paid employees. We had department heads. We had exuberant young volunteers who were anxious to do all kinds of extra activities for us. We could do those things. Now that we are, we're getting to be an older organization, we're a little tired, we're depleted in our membership, we have a way reduced staff, we can't do all those things that may sound good on paper, they may sound good as general ideas, but when you pile one on top of another, they become problematic in terms of being able to run the station and do the things that need to be done every day, such as filling out the program grid, making sure we're on the air, making sure that, you know, the electric bills are paid, et cetera, et cetera. So that's just a general comment on that. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. And Michael D.D. White, you're next on the stack.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about the community bulletin board. And I'll talk about it from the standpoint of before I was on the board of WBAI. I was sending things in to the community bulletin board to be published as events that we were doing. Mainly this was Citizens Defending Libraries events. And I gave a lot of thought, including when I became a board member, to the question of the community bulletin board, because I liked that it was available. But I did think that it was difficult and challenging and not necessarily entirely workable. So from the user standpoint, Citizens Defending Libraries would send in events, and the instructions were that you had to send in an event 2 weeks before the event. Now, Citizens Defending Libraries was often in a reactive mode to things that were going on, and to be effective, we had to scramble and do events, and there was no way that, you know, there was going to be 2 weeks, plus the ability to just have the presence of mind to think about sending it in. But the problem is that the community, we would send things in, it didn't necessarily always get picked up. And I'm not sure what the backstory on that is. But a radius of how many miles, taking into account the hills and valleys that intercept our signal, and then you've got the wider internet connection. So, you know, it's New York City, New Jersey, Westchester, et cetera. We have a lot of communities where a lot of events are going on. And then how do you curate that into something effective? And that requires a huge amount of judgment, because if people are really using the community bulletin board, you know, if they're really sending their stuff in, you know, first thing is to get people to send it in. The next thing is, how do you sort the, you know, how do you curate it so that the really good stuff, because you can't do everything. We have so many communities, but I'd like to figure out how to, you know, have something of the sort that we had to somehow replace it, because, you know, it was valuable. It helped attract me, you know, to, you know, thinking more about WBAI, and maybe that ultimately led me to be on the board. I don't know, but I don't think it's you know, a simple let's have a community, you know, let's reinstate the community advisory board decision. It's just not that easy to do well.
Well, I would answer that. Basically, we had to choose someone who would dedicate. And really dedicate themselves and really believe in the community bulletin and board. And I'll be honest with you, we just trusted her with choosing what stories that she would put in the 2 minutes or 5 minutes that she would record on the radio. However, those emails, there was a format that you sent, and then those things were recorded automatically on the WBAI website. Somewhere it says community bulletin board, and you can go and scroll up or scroll down and see all those events by the date that they occurred, that they would pop up. This was not really curated. Anybody could just send that email, but those emails went to the person who was responsible for the community bulletin board. I mean, we had conversations with them, and some criteria we spoke about, but at the end of the day, It went based on their judgment, because they could not put all of them on the 2 minutes or 5 minutes that they did on the air. It was pre-recorded, and then we just played and played over. I don't remember. I think it was pre-recorded for a whole month. So that's why they asked for 2 weeks in advance, a whole month or 2 weeks, I don't remember, something like that. And producer trust their judgment. And I know, for example, Earth Mom, you know, was biased towards environmental stuff. And so she, there was a little more of that in there. But that was okay. And so that's how we went by. You know, like, basically, BAI, we have to go and trust our producers to do most of the things. You know, a board app, you know, there are certain responsibilities and trust we have to endow into them. And like, if something comes out, we'll call them and tell them about, you know, the problem, or we'll call them out, you know, if they say do something bad. But, you know, that's something you would not see. That will be just us talking to them. But that's how that went. You know, there's a trust. There's a trust factor. There is, you know, it's fluid. And then that's how we did the community bulletin board.
Okay, I'm going to put myself on a stack here, and I can say that the community bulletin board is quite a bit of work, because I did it in the 80s for a while, did it for like, I don't know, close to a year, and another person and I did it, and in those days, we got a 10-minute slot, and this would be thrown in here. It had a regular date and time when it went on, but it would also get thrown in here and there when somebody had to fill in. And so we did that, and it was a hell of a lot of work, and it also involves a bit of judgment. I think these days it's probably more challenging because, let's face it, in my opinion, there's more scamming going on in the world than there used to be, especially, if you're going to collect your information over email or something. And so you got to really look at these things with a critical eye, or maybe a cynical eye, and say, is this something real or is this phony? Because here and there, we did get things even then that we'd look at and say, you know, I don't know that this thing is a good thing to put on. This sounds like it might be somebody trying to get people together so that they could, fleece them. Or something where in those days they would try to get people's telephone numbers or something like that. And then you have the choice of what can go in. My partner for a lot of the time that we were doing this was extremely strict about the political leaning of any group that would be announced on there. And, it could get a little bit interesting at times for how we're going to fill that 10-minute slot. So it is a hell of a lot of work. And you have to pay attention to it because you can't just throw it in. It has to sound decent also. And so there are a lot of different things to consider for the community bulletin board. And yet it would probably be a good thing to have one when next year we try and get back into this Corporation for Public Broadcasting. So there's my experience with it. Okay. And here
Into
we are.
Stack.
And is there anybody else who wants to talk about anything? We're in new business.
Mario.
Yeah, into the stack.
I hear Mario and somebody else. Who else?
Jim Dingman.
Dingman. Okay. And what anybody else?
We're going to jab the bottom
out.
Who is that? Say again.
We're going to jab the bottom.
Okay, there are two
people
talking.
I think Jack is saying something. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, folks, we have people at various volume levels here, and I'm having a hard time. One person try to speak right now. Who wants to be on the stack?
And alongside pressure from human use.
Daryl McPherson on the stack.
Okay, McPherson wants to be on too. Okay, and so far I have Mario Mastrandrea, Jim Dingman, Daryl McPherson. Anybody else want to be on the stack? I thought I heard another voice. Okay, we'll go with those three, and then if we have more time, we'll go with whoever else wants to follow up. Mario Mastrandrea, go ahead.
Well, I had a question about the Tower Fund. How much money was in the Tower Fund as of today?
As of today, I don't know, because Chris has to run the report, so we don't run that thing every day. So
okay. But we're behind, it's $17,000 a month, and we're behind 3 months.
We're behind 2 months.
2 months. And we were behind in the past, but then you did a specific target, and then you caught up.
Yeah.
This is months back, right? Okay. So is there going to be an every month tower fund pitch? Because the rent for the tower has to be paid every month.
In June and December going forward. If we make enough money, if we make $140,000 a month, then we won't need to do that. But if we want to have extra money to do this or to do that, I mean, right now we are putting a whack at the station so that we can have better air sound and all of that stuff. So, you know, we might do a special. But if we make enough money, we don't have to do any fundraising at all.
Right.
Okay.
That's it for now. Yeah, thanks.
Okay, next is Jim Dingman.
All right. Just to let you guys know, we're starting to get the information from the other stations in terms of their Arbitron, their Nielsen ratings, their audience ratings, and their fundraising totals in real time. And obviously it's pretty sobering. We have to view the entire network as a network, help the weaker ones come up, etc., and strengthen them. But some of the, you know, some of it's quite sobering, to be blunt. There are certain time slots in certain stations which have zero to no listeners, quite astounding, frankly. And then we got the statistics from KPFT's latest fundraiser, and that was pretty sobering, too. So while we're trying to deal with our problems here in New York, we have to also keep in mind that, you know, we've got this real serious problem out in Los Angeles, and we got this other serious problem in Texas that has to be addressed and turned around at the same time that we're trying to turn our things around. I should add that, you know, I'm going to argue that we got to get a task force, or somebody has to be a czar, a CPB czar, so we don't have the problem we had in the past couple of months where the approach to the CPB issue was so daunting. And we had opposition when I put that motion. Jim and myself and others put that motion before the PNB to start getting our act together for that months ago. And we had opposition from other board members who felt that Pacifica is persona non grata. And we just have to really coordinate that effort around the country and start now to make sure that this problem doesn't happen again. And one thing that people have to keep in mind is that they have a different criterion that they had last time, and that is how many people are actually listening to the station. Now, BAI is able to get a dispensation due to the fact that most of our audience is defined as a minority audience, hence we are able to get the weekly cume cut in half. But even with that, we're going to have a problem perhaps getting money from them. That's still to be worked out, but I know it's going to happen for both Texas and Los Angeles. So that's one of the reasons why there has to be a real concerted effort to get those weekly cumes up dramatically, and that means there's going to be some hard choices that will have to be made in terms of what's going to be on and not on, because it's just ridiculous at this point. These cumes in the Los Angeles area are 50,000 to 60,000, 70,000 a week. Texas at one point was down to 15,000 a week. I think they're up to 50. They're coming up, and we're coming up, but we got to come up at least twice as much as do they. So that's the goal. That has to be looked on as a strategic objective, to raise the amount of people listening to us by 100%, and do that as fast as possible. And that's a daunting task, tough to do, but not impossible. Thank you.
Oh.
Green for the staff.
Okay, let me go here. Let's see. I can't tell you how many times we've had people saying, let's do 100% increase in listenership. In fact, we've had program directors pledge they'd do it, and they never got it done. Anyway, it's a
well, at this point, our poll
do,
has
so.
To be done. Our poll, at this point,
yes.
It has to be done.
I'm just
no,
making a
no.
comment there, Jim.
Yeah, I know you're making a comment. At this point, it has to be done, okay? Thank you.
Mario to the stack.
I have Daryl McPherson next. Go ahead, Daryl McPherson. Daryl, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Now I hear you.
There we go. All right, so let's talk money. All right, I need someone to explain to me why passive income is either subversive, unattractive, hard to explain. If you have an aging population with limited funds and you give them a way to change their behavior to raise money for the station, then in my opinion, that's a good way to raise money from people who are without active capital. Now, there needs to be, with the 80 billionaires that live in New York City, somebody needs to go through that stack and see what's available. However, if you have a community station, to me it would make sense to mobilize the community, because you're going to have to mobilize them on several different issues concerning getting more people to listen to the station. I think that the programming is really good. So how do we translate what we're putting out over the air, and I'm using the royal we, to the population that needs to hear it, and then how do we mobilize that population to then support the station? Well, one way that you could do that is to get someone other than me to look at passive platforms. In this case, I'm only talking about good search, right? Tell me where that's subversive or why people are unable to understand that if you get 1 million searches, you get $10,000. And by the way, we need someone on the finance committee to get the $1,400 that's there that nobody seems to want to pick up because it's been there since last year. It's there, people are adding to it slowly. But the money, $1,400 is $1,400. So, A, we need to pick up the money that's already there. B, we need to figure out how we, no, we don't need to figure out. We need to spread the word that other 501c3s are able to gain money by supporting one another by using the Good Shop platform. If people want to shop there, that's fine. However, once again, people don't have money.
They could use Good Search and get a penny for whatever 501c3 is listed under causes with Good Search. Now, there are other passive ways of getting income. When I get off my, when I do more work, I will then present those. But this one is real simple, and I'm unclear as to why other people other than me are unable to see that we have the people to do the searches, because they're going to do searches anyway. I'm going to start writing the program, the producers, and ask them, rather than saying do a Google search, do a Good Search with BAI as your cause of choice to see if that makes a difference. But I truly believe we have enough population that we reach that we could get a million searches and $10,000 in a week. Thank you.
Okay.
Serene for the stack. Can you hear me?
I heard Mario.
My at.
I hear Serene Roberts. I hear you. Anybody else? All right, one second. I got to move and correct something there. Okay, we have those three. Again, we're a new business. Mario, go ahead.
Well, Serene was ahead of me, I think.
I heard you first. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right, thanks. Okay, just commentary and a little figuring out what I'm hearing. We hear the Arbitron numbers are very low to zero. So how do you raise money with that from your listeners? So let's pretend for a minute that we get a rich person who's going to give each station $100,000 a month. So now you got $500,000 coming in, and everybody's happy for the moment. Or happy because all the bills are being paid. But we know that nobody's really listening to the station and no effort's going to be put into expanding the listeners once you get this grant money or donation money. So what is the real mission and goal of the mission statement and the bylaws? It's for basically maximum exposure, maximum participation. That's it. Right at the center of the earth of all this, maximum participation, maximum, listenership. That's basically it. And then all the other dialogue and rules and regulations and meetings all go around that and personalities. Why are we here? I want to tell you something, and I want to teach you something, and I want to make a difference in the city, the state, and the world. If no one's listening, and you're going to get money from Elon Musk, $100,000 a month, five stations, whew, boy, we can breathe now. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to get worse. So everything has to stop, using a few words from Jim, and you have to start getting listeners. Any kind of passive income is going to come from people who care and participate and care about something. I could almost tell you this, people out there go, why should I do this? I don't really like what's going on. I don't like some of the stuff that's going on. I listen. So it's about enrollment. It's about confidence. It's about, I got people who are watching this institution who are, all of this is missing. And again, if you all this other stuff, if you can just break it down to, what is this all about? Maximum participation, maximum exposure. That's it. So, again, where's all this money coming from by all these other campaigns? To the Good Search story, I've been going to CAB meetings forever, and I could name a dozen people in 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years who showed up at the meeting with all great ideas to raise money. An answer to that is why it has not been implemented or been going really, really strong, and no one's picked up that $1,400, is because there's politic and there's legal issues to go and get it. So they have to be straightened out first. I've seen many people who came and then got disenchanted. I remember when Najee showed up at the meetings, he had some great ideas. I said, okay, I'll see you in a little while. You're going to see how much politics is involved, and it's not about keeping it simple. And he got disenchanted, and his ideas went by the wayside. So just a little answer on that. Now, but it's not just because, hey, you know, I'm saying this. It's really to try to point all this out and go, we got to go get listeners. Each station has to go get listeners. Otherwise, what are you doing? You know, we know a little bit more what's going out in California. It's a large bunch of people, but it's like that in every station. They want to keep their job. I want to get my son a job, maybe graduated college. You know, maybe you can work for the radio station for a while. Maybe you can intern. It's a normal kind of thing. And all this stuff's going on. You know, I've been saying this for years now. The people out west are trying to protect their interest so they can put food on the table. So if other stations are screwing up and they want to do politics, they're going to do whatever they got to do, whether they got to act ridiculous, they got to do Bernil, they got to do Crozier. That's all it is. I got to put food on my table, and these people are screwing up. They're polarizing with me. And then the listeners got to watch all this, see all this. You got to get more listeners. How do you do that right off the cuff? You got to go talk to people. It's a campaign. It's a weekly, daily campaign, like you're running for office. That's it. If you get money, if you get a lot of money, then you could do tricks and do things and campaigns if you can get money. But that now you're talking about a lot of money, because now you're talking about we need $100,000 each station just to, you know, to pay bills and everybody can breathe. Now you need another $100,000 a month in each station to advertise. Okay, so basically that's it. You need more listeners because it's a radio station where people have to listen to a radio station. That's what the whole thing's about. You can't make it complicated. You can't get a naysayer. You can't get somebody, yeah, well, but. No, you don't need those people around. There is none. It's very simple. Keep it simple. Get more listeners and more participation. And then people start seeing, you know, there's a new radio station in New York. It's in it comes out of the Westchester area. They're doing fine right now. I'd like to know what their Arbitron is. It's 103.9. You can't get it in the lower city. It's very staticky. The signal kind of wanes because of everything that's going on. But up here, it's clear. Who were they speaking to? They decided to get a radio station. It's people who are Ben Shapiro, and I forgot some of the other names, but they talk against a lot of the liberal left stuff going on. And they do commercials, but not a lot. So they got money. Where did they get the money? But they have an interest. They're trying to appeal to their listener base. So we got to go get listeners. Now, that's basically it. You got to go get listeners. I mean, why would I be a producer on a radio station now at this point that's got nobody listening to it? Okay. Thanks for allowing me to share. But I'm just trying to point out the obvious and then hope that it goes in a direction. You got to get more listeners. I'm going to go to the Assange meeting this Saturday at Theater 80. I want to see how many people are going to show up. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Next person.
I've moved
Doreen
to
Roberts.
Adjourn.
Go ahead.
I think that Mario had a very ample.
Hold on.
There
Wait. The next person. Excuse me. The
yes,
next person on the list is Serene Roberts. She will have the floor. When we get to the end of this stack, we can take a new stack. So, Serene
Thank
Roberts,
you,
go
Chair.
Ahead.
Thanks very much. Two things. One, Daryl, I'm going to try to reach you through our chair. So look for the email. That's number one. Number two, is Berthel still on the call?
Yes.
Okay. So back to the PSA issue, a question. Did we or did we not receive $2,000 to air those Vision Zero spots?
We received $12,000, which is $5,000 for May and $5,000 for June. Plus, they paid us for the fact that Linda produced those PSAs herself and put the music and all that stuff. So they paid us another $2,000 and change for the production of these things. And there's a possibility that once they do their bus in July, that we'll get that $5,000 a month every month. And thank you for asking. If we could get five or six of those, we would be fine.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I think the person who comes next knows she's next.
Do you have a problem saying my name is a goddess?
I know what your name is, and you don't like me to say it. Go ahead. You have the floor.
I want to address Daryl and his confoundment about why you can't even get out some money there. It's a type of rut. It's a type of, like, for example, the report, and we don't even know the name of it. The CAB gave a good name, and there is power in a name. And that became something else when Daryl got on the line. What we heard was basically Linda was saying, well, I need to look into it. But Daryl has been talking about this for I don't know how long. So Linda needs to not tell us about looking into it, especially when there's money to be put in the bank. It needs to move forward. I'd like to comment on what Ara Paul said earlier regarding the more proliferation of scam artists. Gerda reminded us in the statement he made that the hardest thing to see is what's before your eyes. So the sociopaths, the malignant narcissists, they come with a lot of baggage and trails, and we need to pay close attention. Thank you.
Oh, boy, somebody is ringing us here. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, oof. All right. Man. Okay, the chair would like to say a little small something at this point. And I would like to speak in favor of paying attention and keeping up to date. I would push treasurer's reports. People could, basically find out answers to questions before they need to ask them, in some cases, by reading the treasurer's reports, which are posted. And, you can see those. It's on the public LSB mailing list. It's also on my list at glib.com. And you can read the treasurer's reports there, and it can answer a lot of questions. Also, it would be so good if people would arrive early in the meeting, not only to give their reports, but also to hear what's been said so they don't bring stuff up that's already been reported on. It would also be good if people would remember what they've said in the past. For instance, people saying things about, why are you surprised that we didn't apply for the CPB at the last LSB meeting, when in fact some of those people were talking about our WBAI and Pacifica getting CPB money this year at a very, very recent local finance committee meeting. So people need to, just realize that this committee and what's being said here isn't everything related to the finances. There's a lot of stuff that's posted online, a lot of information, and it would also be good if people got here early for the meeting so they could hear everything and not repeat stuff that was already said. That's all I have to say. Do we want a new stack?
I wanted to say something.
I'd like to add.
Okay, Jim Dingman, I hear Jim Dingman. Anybody else?
Serene Roberts.
Anybody else want to be on this new stack? Going once, twice, three times. Okay, Jim Dingman, go ahead.
All right. Well, actually, I have some positive news to report. One of the positive things that happened a few days ago was one of the managers in one of the units actually wasn't sitting there on their behind, and they actually went out and explored and got tens of thousands of dollars to support their station. So while we sit here and listen to these dire numbers, these grim statistics, et cetera, it shows me that if you just decide to move ahead and accept the fact that you got a tough situation to deal with and try to solve it, nothing ventured, nothing gained. In that particular case, that station got literally tens of thousands of dollars as a result of that person's efforts. So that just shows me that while we're sitting here in doom and gloom a little bit, there is light at the end of the tunnel if we simply move forward together and try to solve these problems collectively. Thank you.
Okay, Serene Roberts, you have the floor.
Okay, we actually have something in Pacifica called the Pacifica Foundation Financial Policy and Procedural Manual, which was last approved by the PNB in January 2008. And I've been trying to get people to pay attention to it for a number of years. I send it to every new CFO when they're appointed. I was listening to the NFC call last night when I think the chair of the PNB said, well, it would be a good idea if we had a financial policy and procedure manual. And then another member of the committee said, so if anyone knows where there's a policy and procedure manual, I would like to have it. Now, in between those two statements, I forwarded it to the PNB. And, of course, I also forwarded it to the PNB last November and at other intervals prior. But, yes, it seems people are now aware that we have a financial policy and procedure manual. No one seems to have the time to deal with it. I think it would be a great idea. This is not a motion. It's a suggestion. If there are people on the Finance Committee who would like to get together and review the policy and procedure manual, just to see what it looks like, I'll send it to the list. I think I might have sent it to the list last night, but I will send it again tonight, and maybe we can informally, whoever's interested, meet you know, one Wednesday evening when we're not doing LSB and not doing finance, and talk about what the contents are. Now, I don't see how you can hold people to performing to a certain standard or without telling them what that standard should be. And that policy is 14 years out of date. I assure you things have changed in the business world. Additionally, it seems that there's a, I don't know, people aren't really wanting to talk about this very openly, but it seems that when your station is running a deficit beyond a certain amount, it has now become grounds for removing people from their positions. And my alarm is going. I'm so sorry. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. So it seems to me that if running a deficit are grounds for removing management, we are in deep trouble. And whatever's happening at WBAI is not as bad as what's happening at KPFK. They're searching for a general manager. They cut a lot of staff, as we had, 75% of our bargaining unit disappeared in 2013, and I would argue we have not yet recovered. So this is an invitation to an informal meeting to come to talk about what's happening financially in Pacifica. It's not a motion for the committee, but it will hit the committee listserv. And we would ask people to be consistent in terms of the standards that they're using to judge managers around the network. If it is a fatal sin to run a deficit in one station, why has it been allowed for more than a decade at others? Thanks.
Jim to the stack.
Before anything else, you say that was January 2008? I'm asking.
Sorry, I muted.
Did you say the PNB approved it in January 2008?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have the draft of that I sent to the CFO who was asking for that. I never got the approved version of it. Now we have two versions of it. Thank you.
I sent it to Anita Sims, and I think I might have even sent it to Julia Kennard when she became permanent after she was interim.
Okay, nobody sent it to me. I know that.
Okay.
Somebody sent it to me in 2007. Ross. His name was Ross, and he was on the LSB.
Yeah, he was the auditor. Oh, Jamie Ross. We had an auditor named Ross, I think, in 2007.
No, not the auditor.
It
was,
I know. It was Ross.
Yeah, he was on the LSB.
Got it.
James, go to stack, please.
Let me point out that it's 2119, and we've got various people who want to be on there. I hear James Sagerton and Jim Dingman again. I'm going to put Sagerton ahead. Does anybody else want to get in on another stack? If not, it will be Sagerton and Dingman.
Put me back on to Mario then.
Okay. Dingman, Mario, anybody else want to get on this stack?
Sagerton.
Okay, hearing nobody else, I think we're going to go with this three-person stack. First is James Sagerton. Go ahead.
Thank you, R. Paul. As to the financial procedures manual and many other items that are unavailable from an official source, it's nice that some people who've been around for a long time can reach into their personal email files and come up with these things, but it would be also nice if we had an official repository for documents and for policies and things of that sort, if we had them in some kind of a manual that was searchable, that came from an official source, rather than when we're discussing these things, even on the PNB, whoever happens to have the oldest email file and can bring these things out and, you know, produce them like a rabbit out of their hat and say, this is the policy. Other people on the board have no idea whether there's a more recent policy, whether this is the actual version that was passed, or whether there was a draft, as our Paul just pointed out, or what would be nice is if, and the new executive director says she's working on this. She says she got no such information when she came into her position now, and Pacifica needs to have that so that directors, LSB delegates, the public members have a central place where they can go, and everybody can have the same information that's available to everyone. And we've had some attempt on the governance committee, which fell apart, to create such a place, and this executive director says she's going to work on such a thing. Of course, we're always distracted by the financial crisis of the moment, but I do hope eventually we get that done. That's all.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, let me comment on this fast. Yes, I agree. I've said before we need to have a new repository of stuff about Pacifica. We need to be able to put it somewhere so somebody could say, oh, I need to find whatever and see if Pacifica has that somewhere. I've stopped saying anything about it because people don't pay attention to it. I will say that the reason I'm saying we need a new repository is because we had one. However, it was on Yahoo Groups. And each individual thing, the PNB and all of the PNB committees and the local station boards and all the local station board committees, everybody was on Google Groups, and we used that for the email. And Google Groups kept the emails and the files. You could go up to Yahoo Groups, not Google Groups. Crap. You would go up to Yahoo Groups, and you would go to the mailing list, and you could upload a file, and it would be there, and it didn't have to be attached to an email. And then you could give the URL of that particular file, and everybody could go look at it. But in December 2019, Yahoo Groups said, the hell with this noise, and it all went away. Unfortunately, a lot of places, a lot of people in Pacifica who are on these various committees and things did not capture that information. And so a lot of it has gone into the bit bucket by now. But yes, we need to have this. The institutional memory should not be invested in, you know, people who've been around a long time. It should be something everybody can go look up without having to ask somebody and see if somebody's memory is good enough. So I hope that the PNB will at some point do this. It isn't difficult to set up something like that. I think Pacifica has a server, and it's not difficult to do. Anyway, that I had to say that. Okay, next person is Jim Dingman.
If I could then get back on.
All right. Well, our Paul's is completely correct about that. There should be a repository of all these documents. I would mention, of course, if one wants to go in and cherry-pick resolutions and motions of the PNB, there's several motions that have to do with the evaluation of programs, which, frankly, is never implemented in any of the stations in any systematic fashion. So we're left all the time with a lot of talk about we got to do this, we got to do that at the last minute, but then there's never any kind of fair process to evaluate shows, whether they should stay on or not. Remember, the first paragraph of the mission statement says the stations or the whole network should be as self-sustaining as possible. That applies to the shows as well. What's unusual in this situation is three stations, especially Los Angeles and Texas, and New York is recovering, we know, but it's a lot more work to do. We've never had an implosion like that with three units all at once. And we can argue about what's caused the situation in Los Angeles, how much that's deliberative on the part of different people out there and players. It's a complicated situation. It all depends on what point of view you take. But the bottom line is that, you know, we have this fiscal difficulty with all three stations that is preventing us from moving forward and has to be solved. Until we confront, and again, each station, you know, let's go into the 80,000 people listening to the station in New York. A good 40,000 to 50,000 of them are over a certain age. They're baby boomers. They're aging baby boomers. And I'm pretty sure that affects every other station. So the actual numbers that listen in the cubes are actually less than the 80,000 or 90,000. In the case of Texas, I think it's probably close to 25 or 30,000 who actually are listening to the stations. In the case of Los Angeles, it's probably down to 40 or 50,000. And in the case of Berkeley, you know, we're finally getting them to give us information. And as much as we have, you know, and there's a reason why they guard their information, because their information shows that their audiences are not that much bigger than ours. It just is they're more loyal and willing to give than ours are for a whole bunch of reasons that have to do with the Bay Area. So until we confront the fact that we need to get the amount of people listening to each station up to 500,000 a week, that's the bottom line. All the other stuff to have meetings, as Ms. Roberts talks about it, let's have a meeting to, as I said, you know, she was sort of implying, you know, well, how we count, how we hold a manager responsible. Well, what about 200 folks who are doing shows and we've had this collective kind of aggregation of listenership that's essentially declined over the past 20 years? And that's true at every station. When do people come and sit there and talk openly about these kind of issues? Do we have to wait till a crisis occurs? Do we have to have, you know, the kind of craziness that happened in Los Angeles a few days ago when Bernier came in? You have to blow the whole place up. That we don't want to do. So that's something that has to be confronted. The fact that nobody in significant numbers to support the minimum staff and expenses of these stations are listening in aggregate numbers in several of the signal areas. And until that is confronted head on and dealt with, we're just going to simply be floundering. And that's it. Simple as that. And that can't be. You know, that can't be. And the amount of bills that are coming up, they just seem like they're coming in like the sword of Damocles all the time and on a weekly basis. And I know that in the summer, the amount of people who listen to the station tends to go drop about 50%. That's probably true of the other stations, too. So we're going to have a harder time in the next 2 months raising money than we did before. But if we rebrand, if we take a positive look, if we figure out ways to reinvent ourselves, I think we can do something that we have yet to anticipate that could be positive. Thanks.
Okay, the next person is Mario Mastrandria.
We have two more minutes until the meeting is supposed to end.
Yes, thank you. Mario Mastrandria has the floor.
Thank you very much. Some of the things, pigtailing off of Jim Dingman, I go back far enough to know, from 84 as a listener and about 87, 88 participating in various ways through the years and from then. All the stations had a lot more listeners and they donated and they became members. So all the stations had to just manage the money coming from the listeners. So they didn't have to worry, you know, they were able to keep the nonprofit closed. They were able to manage whatever they needed to do, whatever they needed to handle. If there was a scandal, they would take care of it. If it was a closed kind of thing. And they handled the governmental and regulatory situations because they were getting money from their membership. What started to happen is that started to drop. Now you have to actually manage a radio network in a way that has nothing to do with managing money. You have to go get listeners. You have to see about relevancy. You have to get new listeners because they're aging out and dropping. So what happens is that now you have to now turn to grants and try to get money those ways. I welcome that. I'll tell you why. When they do that, if they do it, and they do it to a successful degree or a higher degree, more scrutiny and more legal things come into play. So a lot of the games that could be playing that they shouldn't be playing, now some of those managers they want them to get them out the door, it's because maybe the old business and the old way things were being done, they can't if you're going to go ask for money. You're going to be watched. Where see, the dynamic has changed. Membership money, you can kind of manage it. You know, it's like a store. They came in, you buy a slice of pizza. Okay, I got the cash. Now the pizzeria's got to go ask for government money, and the government's going to send somebody, let me see your books. Let me see you following the rules and the FCC and everybody else. So I welcome it. It could be, it's a good thing. So, yes, please, go get more money. Go get more grants. It'll straighten a lot of things out, the election process, everything.
Okay.
And there are a lot more people going to be accountable if they're messing around. I don't care how smart they are. All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mario. The timekeeper has called time. The time for this whole meeting has now been reached. Unless there's a motion to extend, we are going to adjourn. Is there a motion to extend?
I'd like to move to extend 1/2 minute.
No, no.
I want to
a half minute,
to
really, that's so, you know, no. You'd have to make it something more than that. A half minute is too short a thing.
All right, 1 minute.
Does anybody object if M.K. Williams says something for 30 seconds and then we adjourn? Does anybody object to that? Okay, go ahead. You have 30 seconds and then we're going.
I would like to say, yes, okay, it's good for us to dot our I's and cross our T's. This is in response to what Mario said. It's good for us to dot our I's and cross our T's with legalities and finances. But, you know, NPR is one of our competitors. NPR got better and got some of our listeners because of Pacifica existing. If Pacifica doesn't exist, NPR will drift closer and closer than it already is to major media. Pacifica has a niche. Pacifica is still trying, you know, doing its best to fulfill its mission. And I think our job is just to, you know, do the fundraising and get the I's dotted and the T's crossed to keep that going. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay. And now we are really, really at, we're over time. If there's no motion to extend, I'm going to end it. Any motion to extend? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all, and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you for your incredible patience and with everybody, R. Paul and Berthold. All the pop, you know, the shots you get, you're incredibly patient. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.